Hey, you guys. So let's start this out with a little confession. Something that took me 10 years to admit out loud, not 10 years of not knowing, 10 years of really knowing and not saying it out loud. 10 years of having the thing I was most afraid of live directly underneath the thing I said I wanted most, and then building my entire life around the gap between those two things without ever fully looking at what was causing it. I was afraid of success, not failure, success. And if that sentence just made something in your chest tighten, if you felt the flash of recognition that you immediately want to dismiss because it sounds ridiculous, because who's afraid of succeeding? Because that cannot possibly be what's happening with you. I need you to stay with me because the fear of success is the most successfully disguised fear I feel in the entire catalog of human fears. It looks like perfectionism. It looks like procrastination. It looks like being a responsible parent who puts the kids first. It looks like not being ready yet. It looks like humility. It looks like wisdom. It looks like 100 completely legitimate, completely defensible reasons why not now, not yet, maybe later, maybe when things calm down, maybe when the kids are older, maybe when I have more time, more money, more credentials, more certainty, more of whatever the fear needs to feel justified today. It's none of those things. It is the fear. It's just performing. And it has been wearing a costume for so long that you forgot there was a costume. I hid behind my kids, and I'm saying that clearly because I need to say it clearly, not as a criticism of parenting, because my kids get everything I have. But I used it. I used them as a shield, as a reason. I used the legitimate demands of parenthood as cover for the thing I was actually doing, which was building a glass ceiling over my own life and calling it being a good parent. Nobody could argue with that. Nobody could push back on that. The kids need me. The timing isn't right. Later, always later. And y'all, God has been patient with me for a very long time. I think you know that. That's kind of the theme of the show of my life. But then he stopped being quite so patient. And the discomfort of staying small started outweighing the discomfort of being seen. And here we are, knee deep in the shit and still a work in progress, still catching it when it comes up. And you guys, it still comes up. It very much comes up. I want to be clear about that. This is not a solved problem. But now, when it surfaces, I sit with it for exactly long enough to be able to name it, okay? To be able to say what it is, to look at the truth underneath it, and then do the thing that Gary Vee once said in the most straightforward way possible that also functions as spiritual direction, whether he intended it to that way or not. Greatest quote that changed my life that I still ruminate on sometimes. Get the fuck over yourself. I know. I know. Okay? Stay with me because, like, this is actually the whole episode. Y'all, welcome to Listen Bitch Podcast. I believe we're on 25 of the Rebellion season. Bitch, if you're watching me on YouTube, I pulled my hair up for this today. I never rock the messy bun on the show, and here we are. So, if you know me, you know this is serious. But listen, I've never really brought this anywhere. And it's not because I was protecting it, but I think maybe because I wasn't ready because I've used the excuse of like, maybe I'm just not, that's not meant for me, that's not good for me. But now I'm in this arena of like, y'all know I found my voice a long time ago. Now I find the direction and I find where God wants me to plant right now. I find all of that. And so now, you know, there's the work of admitting that your deepest fear is not failure, but success. And I'm at the precipice of this. And this requires a specific kind of honesty. And it takes time to build up to because there's still an actual, real feeling of shame that comes up inside of me. And apparently, it takes, you know, X amount of seasons with the Listen Bitch podcast. We're in season 10. It takes all of that in the Listen Bitch podcast and the rebellion season to finally get there. But here we are. In case you guys are new here, I am Brandon Lynette. I am, you know, the voice coach. Your mess is your message. My mess is 10 years of sophisticated, well-justified, completely convincing self-sabotage bullshit that I've been living inside of long enough to finally see clearly. If your mess looks anything like mine, if you've been circling the thing for years, almost touching it, and then pulling back, building momentum, and then mysteriously losing it right when the breakthrough was closest. Then this is the episode. This one is the one that was always supposed to exist. Okay. That's fear of failure makes sense to people. Okay. It makes sense. You try, you fall short, you get hurt. The brain files that under avoid in the future. Okay. Because our brain is always keeping proof of whatever it is we're looking for. And the avoidance feels rational. Like the logic is genuinely clean. Fear of failure. That's why everybody hypes it up. The casualty is visible. Failure hurts. So you protect yourself from failure so you don't try the thing that might fail. Fear of success is fucking weird. And it is weird in a specific way that makes it nearly impossible to see it in yourself because from the inside, it doesn't feel like fear, right? How noble was I? It's responsibility. It feels like caution. It feels like being realistic. It feels like being a grounded person who understands that big moves have big consequences and you cannot just blow up your whole life because you have a dream. But here's what the fear of success is actually about. And just stay with me for a minute in the space because it matters. The fear of success is not about the success itself. It's about what comes after the success. It's about the visibility, the accountability, the loss of the excuse. Okay, that's my comfort. I've always had something to protect me from the big thing, from the full explosion of who the fuck is Brandon Lynette and what is God asking her to do. It's the weight of being someone who actually did the thing and now has to keep doing it. The terror of being seen, fully seen in a world where I'm barely navigating to what it is to like myself and not give a shit who likes me, but now I'm going to be seen. Not almost seen, not the curated version, but really seen and found out as someone who was never quite what they seemed. Imposter syndrome at its deepest root. Not, I might fail. It's, I might succeed, and then everyone will know I wasn't up for this the whole time. Not, what if it doesn't work? What if it works, and then I have to sustain it and I can't fall from the top? Is it's so much further than the fall from the ground, right? It's also about identity. And this is kind of sharp. When your identity has been built, even partially, even unconsciously, around being the person who almost made it, being the person with the unrealized potential, being the person who could have been but wasn't quite, being the person who has all this in them but hasn't launched yet, then succeeding threatens the identity. It ends the almost. It closes the story you've been telling about why you haven't yet. And closing that story requires writing a new one. And writing a new one requires becoming someone you haven't even been yet. And becoming someone you have not been yet is terrifying in such a way that staying where you are, however uncomfortable, is not. Staying where you are is known quantity. Success is like a foreign fucking country. And the systems, okay? Big pharma, big food, big tech, the government, the entire industrial complex of institutional power. They don't fear your failure. They planned for it, okay? They built your failure. They have entire industries designed to monetize your failure. The self-help section, the productivity apps, the supplements, the therapy, the courses, the coaches, the content about why you're not where you want to be yet. Okay. And what you can buy to get there. Your failure is in the product. Your striving without arriving is the business model. What they have not fully planned for is your success. A person who has built a platform, a business, a voice, a following, a financial foundation, a community of people who are waking up and thinking differently, which I hope you're my community. And this is exactly what the fuck is happening. And then you're building your own sovereignty. That person is a problem. Listen, bitch, we're a problem. Not a managed consumer, not a predictable demographic, an actual unpredictable, potentially influential problem. And the more of us there are, the bigger the problem for them gets. So the self-doubt that fires right at the moment of the breakthrough, the mysterious loss of momentum right when the thing is working, the sudden and overwhelming conviction that you are not ready, not qualified, not the right person, not the right time. Right when the evidence is starting to suggest otherwise. I'm not saying there is a meeting somewhere where they specifically discuss keeping you small. I'm saying the system has produced a culture through media, through education, through religion, through social dynamics that does an exceptionally good job of making people police themselves. or producing the self-sabotage so reliably that they don't have to do it from the outside. You do it for them from the inside on a 10-year schedule with kids as the alibi. The system does not need to stop you, it just needs you to stop yourself. And we have been trained very well. Very well. 10 years, you guys. I want to walk you through the 10 years because I think specifically it's the thing that makes this land or not land. Vague confession, like super easy. Specific confession is the mess that becomes the message, right? So 10 years ago, I know, not suspected, knew. I knew that I was supposed to be doing something in the space of helping people, become better versions of themselves through whatever modality that was. Like, knew that specific combination of things that I'd been through, the way that my brain works, the way I connect with people, the things I care about, all of it's pointing at something, right? A calling that was visible enough that people around me could see it. They could see the potential, even when I'm working hard to look away from it. And I heard it everywhere, the potential that I had. But y'all, I didn't move. Not because I don't believe in the calling, because I believed in it so much that I was terrified of it. Because the calling was large enough that failing at it would have been devastating. Because succeeding at it would have meant becoming someone I had never been, someone visible. Someone with something real on the line, someone who could not hide behind almost anymore. So I found reasons, and they're good reasons. I want to be honest about that. They're genuinely good reasons. Okay. And even now, I mean, these are my reasons. I've just changed it a little bit. Kids, I have babies. Okay. Finances, very unstable. Timing, not right. Needed more experience, more clarity, more something. And every reason had enough truth to be believable. And I believed the reasons. I used them, and the years passed by. And here's the thing about the glass ceiling, the one that you build yourself over your own life. It's invisible from below. Like, you can't see it from inside the life you've been living. You only see it when you bump your head on it. When you make a move that shouldn't, should have worked, and mysteriously it didn't, it doesn't. When momentum builds and then it just evaporates, or when opportunities arrive and you find a reason they're not quite right, when people believe in you more than you believe in yourself, and you manage their expectations downward because the gap between what they see and what you allow yourself to be is too uncomfortable to sustain. I've apologized to many mentors in this 10-year space. One in particularly believed in me, and I just repelled everything my whole life of just about my potential. And so I'm, bumping my head on this glass ceiling for years. Every bump, I explained it away. Like, too much competition, right? It's the wrong season. It's the wrong market, wrong timing. It's not the kids. I want to be clear about that. The kids were never the problem. I was the problem. And the kids were the story I told myself, so I didn't have to say that. And then, like, this is the part I want you to hear carefully. The cost of staying below the ceiling started exceeding the cost of breaking through it. And it's not all at once. It's a very gradual process. The specific discomfort of watching the calling wait started hurting more than the fear of the thing the calling required. And in that window, that narrow specific window where the pain of staying exceeded the pain of going, I moved. It hasn't been perfect. I sure the fuck was not brave. I have no plan and a fully formed strategy. I move the way most real moves happen. Super fucking sloppy, okay? Imperfect, incomplete, with a lot of residual fear still present and a decision to go on anyway. And the ceiling is broken. And it's not because I was ready, but it's because I moved. And the fact that it's broken, listen, and it still comes up. I need to say that because I do not want to give you the cleaned up bullshit, toxic coach fucking jargon with this, okay? The ceiling is broken, but I want to make it very clear that fear of success still surfaces within me, not with the same power that it's had for 10 years, because you could see it differently once you've named it. Like, once you break through the ceiling once, the glass doesn't ever quite look as solid, right? I know what's possible now. But it still shows up, whether it's just a whisper or still occasionally makes a compelling argument for pulling back right before the breakthrough. And now I sometimes still feel it stronger. And this is the thing that I do when I am making a decision. I was making a decision about this podcast coaching trio that I'm obsessed with now. They have an event coming up. They have different things that I plugged into, and the voice gets really loud. Okay. And so I start to hesitate. And the minute I start to hesitate, I'm like, sh money, I'm on the target, right? That shit that's scaring me is where I need to keep moving. So the stuff that's comfortable is what I've actually been avoiding lately. And I kept asking myself, like, am I avoiding this because I really am afraid, like this is where I thought I was going to go and it's not. I'm afraid of disappointing people. What's going on here? And the truth is that I'm finally getting the signs of what the next step is. And I sit with this, like these feelings. Obviously, like let's sit with it long enough to acknowledge that it's there. And then I always look at the truth under the fear, the real truth. Like, why am I scared? Because I'm insecure as fuck, because imposter syndrome, because there's always someone better than me, because that shit's real. Okay. And I know someone's listening to this and they're like, how can you even say that? 'Cause like your fucking boss bitching this shit around. You've got four shows. You're dominating. You're doing these interview shows. You ranked 45 on a platform, number 45 of interview hosts out of thousands of people, 0.8% at the top, but you're scared of these people. You're scared of what's next. You're scared of all these, yeah, bitch. Okay. That's the reality. And the truth is, I dig deep and I have to remember who the fuck I am and who I am and what I'm here to do. And then what do I do? Do you guys remember the quote I gave you? I get the fuck over myself and I move. And he did not, Gary V, come on, you guys. He did not intend that as a theological statement, but it functions as one because at a certain point, the self-obsession that keeps you stuck, this shit is not about me. It's not about me. It's about stewarding my relationship with Christ. So get the fuck over yourself, Brandon, and do your job as you were called here to do. That endless internal conversation about whether you're ready, whether you're enough, whether this is the right time. It's a very what? Human. It's a very human form of making yourself the center of the story. Bitch, the story is not about you. It's about the people on the other side of the obedience. The people that Christ can't get to until I open my mouth. The people who needed the podcast that you're sitting on and you're not launching. The people who need the message that you sat on. The people who are still waiting for the thing that's sitting inside your fear, like it's been there all along. Which it has. It's been there. It's been there all along. And my brain, that fear of success, okay? There's some neurospicy brain. Right, I'm not gonna go with the labels because I think labels are bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. They're bullshit. Okay, labels are bullshit. I think they're bullshit. It's a way of trying to belong to something, to someone. Y'all, we're called to stand the fuck out. Okay, so I don't need the labels, but I will say my brain is a little neurospicy, and I feel like that extra complicated my relationship with success because success changes things and change. Even positive is like neurologically expensive for a brain that's invested enormous energy in learning to navigate every current environment. You know where everything is, you know how things work. You know your system. You've developed over the years a set of coping strategies and workarounds and all of these things that help you function in your current life. And success, to me, threatens all of that. My security, my safety. Success means a new environment, new demands, new levels of visibility and accountability, new amounts of emails, new numbers of people who have opinions about you, new complexity, new unknowns. And my brain is already working harder than most to manage what it has going on. So I look at that all and I'm like, I don't know if I can handle that. And the easiest way to not find out is to never have gotten there, right? And this is where my brain meets faith, where I get to say, okay, God, this is the brain you gave me, but you need to understand I can't handle this. I can't handle this because my nervous system decides it's going to perform a completely rational cost-benefit analysis using a deeply flawed file in my brain. Okay. Because the data it's using comes from a version of me that never actually experienced that level of success. Bitch, it's never happened to me. So I'm estimating this cause based on fear rather than evidence and saying it out loud. Yes, it's funny. I'm about to laugh because who the fuck does that? The actual cost of success for most people who achieve it is much more manageable than the imagined cost. But your brain can't know that until you actually get there. In the meantime, God, thank you for taking all of the baggage out of my brain at times that I really can't handle it. But as long as I hold on to that fear of the imagined cost, I'll never get where I need to be. And that's a fucking loop. It's a cycle. That's the tornado energy. You just keep spinning and spinning on the hamster wheel of bullshit. The only way out of the loop is through the door. Okay. And when you're hyper focusing on a project until it reaches the point of potential completion, and then you abandon it. Oh my gosh. Like, we're talking about the book that is still sitting on my computer. Okay. Wrote a whole book in 2 days, maybe 3 days. I don't know. Maybe it was a week. I don't fucking know, but it was really fast. I said, hey, I'm going to go ahead and write this book. Boom, it's done. Ask me if I've touched it. Honestly. I'm rebuilding a website with Claude. Went through all this process, and I called myself out on that today. Go through this whole process yesterday, ran out of time. Okay. I have a lot of things to plug in still, but they're not a big deal. It's literally creating links to Stripe. Okay. Ask me if I touched it today. It's a big scary monster, and I'm like, bitch, are you doing the same thing with the book that you did, with the website like you did with the book? Start the thing, build the thing, get close to finishing the thing, and then all of a sudden I have no interest and I have no momentum right before it's about to happen, right before I'm going to submit, right before completion, because then it's going to be real. You guys, this is not random. This is not me having a lack of discipline. This is the fear of success operating through my brain's natural system. The hyper focus, dude, it's safe when the outcome is still theoretical. The moment completion becomes imminent, the moment the thing is real enough to succeed or fail, my brain finds something else to hyper focus on. Okay. Like tonight, if you want to know the little insight to my brain, what am I doing? I'm going to make a bunch of reels. I'm going to video clip reels. That's my hyper focus today. Insane to me that I've started 100 things this week, but that's me protecting me. It's wild. So there's a new project, there's a new idea, there's a new thing that's exciting and safe because it's still in the beginning where everything is possible and nothing is at risk. Okay. If you have a drawer or, physical or digital brain drawer full of almost finished things, this is for you. The drawer is not evidence of your inability to finish, it's evidence of that fear. Do you see? And it's been quietly intercepting your projects at the 1 yard line for a long time. And it can be interrupted. But like, first, we're going to have to call shit out. So, real life, real time, we're doing this together. But this is, I'm talking about this is showing up in the project that is 90% done and has been 90% done for 6 months. The podcast that's recorded, you've recorded 10 episodes, but you haven't published it. The business that is built, you haven't launched. No one knows what the fuck you're doing. The book that is written but not submitted. The offer that is ready but not posted. 90% is the fear's favorite neighborhood, okay? Close enough to feel productive because pat yourself on the back. Bitch, I just wrote a book and it's amazing. Yay. Celebrate. Boom. My brain's done. It got the reward, right? Give myself the pat on the back. Far enough from the line that the outcome is still theoretical and therefore you're still safe. It is that mysterious loss of motivation, which we all know is bullshit, but there is a thing when you're excited about a project and you're building. You're depleted right when things start working. So you get the momentum, and it's real momentum, the kind of thing that feels like something is actually happening. And then something shifts, and the energy drops, the enthusiasm fades. The reasons why this might not work start to feel more compelling than the evidence that it's working. And you pull back, and later you call it a plateau. Maybe for you it's burnout, or it's a sign that it wasn't meant to be. When what it actually was, and what it almost always is the fear of success showing up right on schedule, right at the moment the thing was becoming real. It shows up in the way you talk about your work. You downplay it, the excessive, qualification, the it's just a little thing I'm doing. It's just a little thing I'm doing. No big deal. Four shows. It's just a few things I'm doing. It's not little at all. The preemptive minimizing that keeps expectations low and therefore keeps the risk of falling short of them low. You make yourself small before anyone else can make you small. You get there first, it's efficient if devastating. It shows up in relationships when success threatens the dynamic, when getting bigger means getting out of the comfortable pattern, when your growth makes the people around you uncomfortable and their discomfort makes you slow down. And it's not because their discomfort is your responsibility, but because a nervous system trained to prioritize belonging over calling will choose the room it's already in over the room it's supposed to get to every single time, unless you consciously override it. And the people who are rooting for you to stay small, bitch, there's a lot of them, okay? Those people, the ones who get uncomfortable when you grow, who make comments when you step out, who question your motives when your confidence increases, who were perfectly happy with you when you were stuck and fucking miserable and seem vaguely unsettled by your progress, those people, they're not your enemies, okay? Those haters, babe, those are your mirrors. They are showing you in real time exactly where your own fear lives, because the things that make them uncomfortable about your success are precisely the things you are most afraid of it about. The visibility they question is the visibility you fear. The boldness, the they critique is the boldness that you're not sure you're allowed to have. The who do you think you are? Energy. I can't. I love that. Or the fact I have four shows, I'm a narcissist, right? Like it just comes from everywhere. The who do you think you are energy that they sometimes project is just a louder version of the one that you've been running internally for years. Those people are your voice incarnate, okay? It has come to life to say what you've been saying to yourself. And they're not the obstacle, you guys. That is the tool to run the diagnostics on the program. It's data. And the prescription is the same, regardless of whether the voice is coming from outside or inside. Name it, look at the truth, get the fuck over yourself, and move. And don't think that Jesus didn't go through it. He had to do this too. The people most threatened by his success were the ones who had the most invested in his smallness. The religious establishment, the hometown crowd who knew him when, is this not the carpenter's son? You know how they belittled him like that? Who could not receive what he had become because they were too attached to what he had been. The ones who should have been the most supportive were often the least. You guys, he did not preach at home for a reason, because his success reorganized something for them. His greatness revealed something about theirs. His willingness to step into the full weight of his calling put pressure on everyone around him who was not doing the same. But you know what he didn't do, my friends, okay? And this is a beautiful gift right now. He did not shrink. He did not downplay. He did not preemptively minimize to manage their discomfort. He said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." Period. Full stop. No qualification. No, I'm just a little carpenter from Nazareth doing a little small thing. The full fucking truth. The complete calling, stated clearly, lived completely. Y'all know that's our model. Not arrogance, not ego, the simple, clear, unapologetic ownership of who you are and what you're here to do. The specific you who is listening to this with a particular feeling in your chest, the one who has the thing, the podcast, the message, the story, the calling, and has been circling it for longer than you want to admit. Your mess is your message. I say this every episode because it is the truest thing I know. And I say, have it. I've lived this. I'm the proof of it. Having spent 10 years sitting on a mess that was also a message, having finally moved, having built something from the most personal and uncomfortable material of my own life. Having watched it connect with people in a way that the polished, safe, glass ceiling version never would have. The podcast you have not launched, the audience it was supposed to reach is out there right now listening to something that is not quite hitting the way that yours would. The message you've been sitting on, the person who needed it, may not have unlimited time to wait for your ass to feel ready. The story you've been protecting, keeping it safe from the judgment of people who don't understand it, keeping it small so the failure wouldn't be too visible. The story is someone else's lifeline. You are the only one who could deliver it. That is not pressure. That is a fucking gift. That is your purpose. And there is a difference. This is exactly why I'm helping people to build their voice, to build the podcast, to do the things, because I believe. From the marrow of my bones, believe that your voice is the thing the world needs, and that a podcast is one of the most powerful vehicles available right now for getting it out. And it's not because podcasting is trendy, because it's intimate, because it puts your real voice, your real energy, your real mess in the ears of a specific person who is always supposed to hear it. And there is nothing out there like this. Not online anymore. The fear of success will tell you that you're not ready, that you need more time, that the kids need you, that the timing isn't right, that someone else is already doing it better, that who are you to think your story matters enough to broadcast? And if you tell someone, I want to start a podcast, that's probably what they're going to say to you. And I'm telling you, from 10 years of listening to that voice and staying small and bumping my head on a calling on a ceiling I built myself, that voice is a liar. And it always has been a liar. And the only thing that proves it is moving anyway. So, you guys know, first thing you have to do is name it out loud, not in your head, but like say it out loud. I'm afraid of succeeding at this. And then say it to yourself in the mirror if you have to. Say it to God. Say it to the one person in your life who can hold the real version of you without freaking out. Because the fear of success operates most powerfully in the dark. That's where the big scary monster comes out, in the unexamined, unnamed space where it can disguise itself as wisdom and caution and responsibility. Naming it does not eliminate it, but it does strip the costumes off. And a fear you can see clearly is a fear you can actually work with. Find the 1 yard line, the specific thing that is closest to completion and has been sitting there the longest, not the new exciting project, the old almost finished one. And then I want you to commit, not to finishing all of it, not to a perfect launch, to one specific action this week that moves it 1 step closer to done. And then I want you to send the file wherever you need to send it. You need an editor, record the final segment, whatever you need to do, write the launch post, pick one thing, do one thing. Because completion is a skill and you build it by completing things, not planning to complete them. And for my people that are super neuro spicy, build a completion ritual that makes finishing feel as rewarding as starting. I need the reward, okay? We're addicted to the novelty of beginning because beginning produces dopamine and completing produces the end of the dopamine. That's what it's always felt like to me. Like I'm high and I finish and then there's nothing there. And that's not very sexy. It's not very appealing. So make the completion its own dopamine event. Figure out something. Plan the celebration before you finish, not after, but before. Don't, I'm not saying celebrate, bitch, okay? Because that was a toxic trait for me too. I have an idea. Let's celebrate. Then I never launched. Dopamine done. Plan the celebration for the end of the goal. And have it ready. When I hit publish on this episode, I'm going to do XYZ, whatever that is. And you have to make the finish line visible and you have to make crossing it feel like something. It's got to spark your dopamine, okay? Your brain needs the reward to be real and concrete and planned in advance. So give it that. And fourth, I'm just going to keep saying it. In fact, that should be the title of the show, right? Get the fuck over yourself. And I mean that with every ounce of love in my body. The self-obsession that keeps you stuck, the endless internal negotiation, the refining of the seasons, the careful management of your own expectations, that's a form of self-centeredness that you're trying to pose as humility, but it's really just fear, keeping you in the center of a story that was never meant to be about you. Like the podcast you launch is not about you. The message is not about you. The calling is not about you. It's about the person on the other side of your obedience who is waiting for the thing that only you can bring. So get the fuck out of your own way. Move, launch the thing, tell the story, trust the mess, let it be the message it was always supposed to be. Okay? Rebellion season. This is the episode I owed you guys, the one I owed myself, the one that required me to go through the 10 years and a rebellion season and the courage to build up to it. I finally could say it clearly. I was afraid of my own success. I hid behind legitimate things. I built a glass ceiling and I lived under it and I called it being responsible. And I am done. Today I'm done. And not because the fear is gone, because the mission is bigger than the fear, because the people on the other side of the obedience are more important than the comfort of the ceiling, because the specific, irreplaceable, God-given version of me that was always supposed to be here, showing up, building the thing, helping people find their voice and launch their shit, okay, turn their mess into their message, that version of me does not live under the ceiling, and neither does yours. Jesus said the truth will set you free. The truth today is this: you are not afraid of failing. You are afraid of succeeding and having to sustain it. You are afraid of being seen all the way. You are afraid of the new version of yourself that exists on the other side of that thing you keep almost doing. And that version is waiting, not patiently, with a holy urgent, the time is now kind of waiting that you could feel in your chest if you get quiet enough to listen. So go get there. If this episode made you feel the things, the real things, like the shit you've been carrying, like the show, subscribe, leave a written review. Okay. It's the smallest possible act of someone who just had something land. So just do it. Head to brandonlynette.com so you can call me out on having not updated my website. Okay. You guys hold me accountable for that. 'Cause if it looks the same in 2 weeks from now, then I dropped the ball on that and you got to call me out. We all could use a little accountability from time to time. But anyway, no matter what my website looks like, I do still have a mail list. Okay. My love letter list. Please get on there. Make sure you guys go and subscribe to the Listen Bitch podcast on YouTube. It's lonely over there. I guess I haven't been asking because my numbers have kind of frozen. I think I'm like at 256 and I was at 250 like a month ago. So not proud of that, but I understand. I'm going to ask you guys. Okay. And if you think you're ready, actually ready, done hiding ready, check the show notes to work with me. Tell me your story. Come on my new show. Tell me why you're the one who needs to be heard. Tell me what makes you special. I genuinely want to know and I genuinely believe it. The mess that you've been managing, that's the message. Let's build the podcast that carries it. And I mean this in the most loving way possible. Get the fuck over yourself.